All right, turn to Luke chapter 11 again. Luke 11, I hope you kept Jonah. Keep that mark. We'll go back to Jonah in just a minute. Luke chapter 11, where our Lord spoke of Jonah's story. Jonas is a Hebrew name, and Jonah, the Greek name. Look at verses 27 through 32. Came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, the paps which thou hast sucked. Speaking of his mother. You know, millions right now doing that very thing, aren't they? Hail Mary, Mother of God. Pray for us poor sinners. He said, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And once again, how blessed we are. We just don't know, brethren, we just don't know. And when the people were gathered thick together, verse 29, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign. And there shall no sign be given, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. And in Matthew and Mark, he went on to say, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. In verse 30, he said, as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. She came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. He began by saying, blessed are those who hear this. And we're so blessed. And hopefully the Lord will open this to our understanding. About this Jonah, the story of Jonah, which our Lord said is the sign, is a type or something that typified, a picture, a shadow, a prophecy. That's why that story happened. It's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. It's the whole story. You know the name? Well, blood is not mentioned. Not much religion is mentioned in the book of Jonah. It's kind of a mystery. It's hidden. Oh, but Christ, the whole book is about Him. And I hope is that we're not taken up with the type. Because it's amazing. It's fascinating. I hope we'll be amazed that Christ would do what He did for that. Our Lord began by saying, verse 29, this is an evil generation. His day. Generation being 2,000 years. We're in the last of the last days. Day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. The Lord Jesus Christ is that prophet of whom Moses spake. Jonah was a prophet. Like all the prophets, he preached repentance. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, the first thing he preached was repent, for the kingdom of God is in hand. Right? He didn't stand up and say, God loves you. No, he said, repent. Meaning, God is holy and just and righteous, will by no means clear the guilty, and God is angry with the wicked every day, and God will punish sin, and this world is full of sin, and the hand of God, the wrath of God is coming down on it. Repent. Turn. Why will you die? Repentance. And only the Word of God can bring repentance. Only the goodness of God can bring repentance. It convicts the heart and the mind of sin. What's sin? Well, it ain't stealing a watermelon. Lord, the things that people say are sin. Sin is what we are. Sin is what makes us don't care for God. Rebel against it. Have our own will and our own way. Sins are what we do. Sin is what we are. Rebels against God. That's right. Man doesn't want anything to do with his Creator. Sins are what we do. One old preacher used to say, you've not repented unless you repented of sin, what you are. What you are not. What you should be or not. Sins, what you've done. What you haven't done. Should have done. And self-righteousness. You say you're not repented unless you repented of self-righteousness. Look at me. Look what I've done. Look what I quit. Repentance is godly sorrow. That's what it's called. Godly sorrow that brings repentance not to be repented of. David said this. Here's repentance. And God convicted him of him what he was and what he'd done against God. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You're going to be clear when you speak and just when you send me to hell. That's what David said. If I go to hell right now, I'll get exactly what I deserve. But let the blood be propitiation on the mercy. Lord, have mercy on my soul. Wash me, cleanse me, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be white as snow. One way, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he was saying. You know anything about that? That's what repentance is, unto salvation. And our Lord said, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign. They seek a sign. Our Lord was preaching. He is the Word made flesh. He was preaching the Word of God. The blessed Word of God. They said, no, show us something. And this is an evil generation. People want to see something. But he said in verse 29, no sign shall be given but the sign of Jonah the prophet. Now turn back to Jonah, okay? No sign. No sign. May the Lord give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to believe. Now, this type, as I said, this is a picture. Something that portrays or typifies or prophesies of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Beginning in Genesis, all the way through Malachi. Type, after shadow, after picture, after emblem, after emblem. They all speak of Christ. To Him give all the prophets witness. All the principal people in Scripture represent Jesus Christ. Okay? The first man created, Adam, Christ is called the second Adam. From cover to cover. Jonah is a picture of Jesus Christ here. But no type is perfect. You understand? You can't make it be perfect. That's why there's so many. So many. But we'll see what we'll see. Verse 1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. The word came to Jonah. God sent the word through this man, and he came to preach the word. John 1 says the very same thing. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. That's Jesus Christ. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word came to Him. Christ is the Word of God. The truth, the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. In the beginning. Verse 2. He came to Nineveh, the great city, to cry against it. Against it. Why? The wickedness has come up to heaven for God. The wickedness of it. Do you see? Do you hear what modern religion is talking? Jesus, little poor Jesus is sitting there. He just loves everybody so much. That is not the Jesus Christ of Scripture. He said, I am come to bring fire on earth. Isn't that what he said? I am come to bring a sword. He said, suppose ye that I've come to bring peace? Nay, rather, a sword. I'm going to separate families, people, the truth by the truth. And in the last days, I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. And I'm going to destroy this whole world with the brightness of my coming. The wickedness of it's come up into God's ears. But God, for His great mercy. See, He sent Jonah with this message of repentance to a bunch of wicked people that didn't deserve to hear it, to spare them, to have mercy upon them. That whoever called on the name of the Lord, whoever repented unto God of their sin, God would have mercy on them. He's ready, He's merciful. He's ready to pardon. He's gracious. And all that call on Him, it's no difference. What a good God, huh? He sent Jonah down to this wicked place. He sent Jesus Christ to this wicked place. Christ came into this world, Scripture says, to save sinners. To save many. From what? Wrath. Judgment. Condemnation. Death. Sin. That's why Christ came. Well, Jonah fled. Here's a great difference. Jonah fled. He rose up and fled from the presence of the Lord. Our Lord didn't flee, but He did leave the presence of the Father, didn't He? To come to this place willingly. Christ willingly, readily, in love to the Father and love to His people, came to this earth to the bunch of wicked people that didn't want Him. Isn't He good? Isn't He merciful? Oh, by the way, Jonah, the name even looks, Jonas, even looks like Jesus. That sounds like it. Same number of letters. What does Jonas mean? Dove. Dove. What's dove? Symbol of peace. Purity. Innocence. The Shulamite woman said of her beloved Jesus Christ, that He has dove's eye. When Noah sent out something to see if the wrath of God had abated, the waters were no longer covering the earth, dry land would appear, He sent out a dove. And the dove came back with an olive branch in his mouth. That's a sermon all of itself. Jonas. God wrote this book, didn't He? And it's all about Jesus Christ, isn't it? Okay. He paid the fare. He paid the fare. He went down, got in a ship with these wicked fellas. Oh, isn't that a scripture that speaks of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ paid it all. All the debt I owed. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He paid the price. He came down to this place. Entered into a ship. With who? These wicked mariners. These godless fellas. You know what sailors are like. I was one of them. I celebrated my 21st birthday sailing on a ship. I know what they're like. But God, He came down. Tabernacled among us. The lovely Son of God who had dove's eyes, holy, harmless, separate from sinners, came down to this place for the likes of us that didn't want Him. Cast Him out. Why did He do that? He came to save us from ourselves. Save us from sin. Save us from Himself. Put us in Himself. He went with them. And the Lord sent a great wind into the sea. Jonah found a ship. Says Jonah found the ship. Going to Tarshish. And there's a whole lot right there. If you read Ezekiel 23 and other places. 1 Kings 10. There's a lot said about Tarshish. Full of gold and silver and ivory and all this. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea. So that the ship was like to be broken. And then the mariners were afraid, and they cried, every man unto his God. You see, they don't know God. They're not calling on God. Every man was religious, though, and they got in this storm, and now they're calling on their God. But they're calling on a God who can't save. And in that religion today, everybody has a God, a different God, and they call on him. And he literally is a God who can't save. That's what they say. He wants to and tried. They all believe to a man that their God didn't want this to happen. This big storm came, and my God wouldn't do that. He loves me. When they found out who the Lord was, they realized he's the one that sent this. And who he sent to abate it. I just gave you the key. So they cried, every man, and they cast forth their wares. They cast forth their wares. Oh, my. This is a picture of people that are in religion. They get in trouble. They start calling on their God. And then they cast out their wares. That is, they quit this and quit that. And they think, well, we'll get rid of this and get rid of that. And then I'll have peace with God. One thing. One way to have peace with an angry God. Christ crucified. One way. There was one way this storm was going to stop. Is Jonah thrown into that sea. The shipmaster came to Jonah. He was asleep. This literally took place. Didn't it? Why did that story happen of the disciples in that ship and the Christ was in that ship asleep? Why did he? Because the scriptures must be fulfilled. Because Christ said, this is the sign. I'm Jonas. I'm your salvation. When God, the only way you're going to escape wrath and judgment is if God puts me on the cross and I die in your place. This is it. He kept telling them this, like Jonah finally told them this. Jonah finally told them who he was, where he came from, what he came for, what his message was, who God was, what they were, and their only hope. That's what Jonah's finally told them all. And I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I got to. Because this is why Christ came. He kept telling them from the day one, Christ must suffer. Christ must suffer. Scriptures must be fulfilled. I came into this world not because it's a sweet place, but God's angry and God's wrath must be appeased and God's judgment against sin must be satisfied. And there's only one way, a substitute, substitution and satisfaction. That's what Christ preached. That's what the apostles preached. Because that's the truth. That's Christ. Well, they came to wake him up. And they cast lots, verse 7 says they cast lots to see who did this and what did this. The proverb says the lot is cast in the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. They cast lots for our Lord's garments. Remember that? When our Lord was crucified, they stripped him of his raiment, of his robe. His robe without seam, without spot, without blemish, except covered in his own blood. What a robe to wear. And they stripped him of that robe without seam, without flaw, and they cast lots. Who's going to get this? Are you feeling lucky? There's no such thing as luck. No such thing. The lot is cast in the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And the soldier that got that robe, I believe it was the same one that was standing there, and finally his eyes were open and said, that's the Son of God. That's me. Well, it fell on Jonah. The lot fell on Jonah. And they all to a man said, it's him. Look at it. Now they asked him, who are you? Why are you here? And he told them, like I just told you. Jonah told them, I'm sent from God. I'm a man of God. I'm sent with the word of God. And the word of God is repent. For the sin and wickedness of this place has come up into God's ears. And God is not happy. God is angry. And God will punish sin. But God is merciful. God is gracious. God is love. God doesn't love everybody, but He loves those whom He first loved, and gives them repentance, and calls them, and convicts them of their sin. Christ said this. Here's what John 16:8-11 said. Christ said, when the Spirit of God comes, He will convict the world, the people of every nation, of sin. And He said, it's because they believe not on Me. That's what He said sin is. They said, that's what God's holding, hold the whole world accountable for. I'm going to throw the whole thing into hell for. They don't believe Jesus Christ. Of righteousness. Of righteousness, He said. It must be perfect, He said. You must have a perfect righteousness. It's not you doing this, casting out your wares. Not putting on, turning over a new leaf. It's wearing Christ's robe. It's being covered with Christ's righteousness. Do you understand that? Our children understand that. Our children are so blessed. Wesley, our children hear this over and over and over. The truth that's able to make us wise unto salvation. Where the children of people all over the world never hear it. And I'm going to keep saying it and saying it. And these teachers, I insist you keep saying this and saying this. Maybe someday, if God is pleased, that word like it did to me will be like an arrow and hit my heart. That's what we're hoping and praying for. Because it's of the Lord. It's up to Him. He said He'll convince of sin, of righteousness. He said, I go to the Father. And nobody comes there but by Me. My righteousness. And judgment. He'll convince of judgment. There's a judgment to face. He said the prince of this world is cast out, is judged. Our foe. Well, let me go on. So Jonah told these men who he was, why he came, and our Lord did, His chosen men. And He's told me, I must be chosen. You must want to be one of His. He's told you who He is, where He came from, why He came, what He did on Calvary Tree. He showed you the sign of the prophet Jonah, that the whole message of your salvation is Christ crucified. And you know that. And they said, so they said unto him, verse 11, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? The sea is getting more and more tempestuous. And brothers and sisters, is it not true that this world, just as it was in Egypt, right before the Lord took the children of Israel out of Egypt, it grew more and more tempestuous. And one of the last signs was darkness covered the face of the earth. Darkness you could feel. And what brought the children of Israel out was the death of a substitute. The death of the firstborn of Egypt. There was not a house in Egypt that somebody didn't die. Well, the same was true in Israel. There was not a house in Israel where there was not a death. But it was not one of them. It was a lamb. Do you understand that? Oh, I love this. I see this. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Don't you? What shall be done if the sea is more and more tempestuous? And Jonah said in verse 12, look at it. Look at it. Three words. Take me up. What did Christ say? Somebody say it. If I be lifted up, that's crucified. Let me peace. One way. Cast me forth into the sea. The sea will be calm unto you. It's for my sake. It's all for my sake that this great tempest is upon you. Salvation is for Christ's sake. This whole everything, judgment is for Christ's sake. The anger and wrath of God is because they believe not on Him. And peace is going to come because you believe on Him. You see that? I see, Kelly, I see. Mine eyes. It's as clear as that. Judgment because you don't believe. Salvation because you do believe. It's all because of Him. His sake. In fact, the children of Israel, they were bitten by those snakes. Bitten by the snake, which is a picture of sin. This whole world bitten by a snake. And Moses took a pole and held up a serpent in the likeness of that snake that bit them all. He said, look! He lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believes on Him shall not perish. It's as simple as that. It's Him. Look! Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You bitten? Boy, I am. Got this poison in me. If I be lifted up. So they did. First they tried to row harder. They tried to row harder. Like the disciples in that boat. They were bailing and rowing and bailing and rowing. And they woke up Christ and said, Lord, save us. If you don't save us, we'll perish. And Irene, he got up and spoke peace. So they cried unto the Lord. Now they know who the Lord, the true Lord God is. The Lord Jehovah, who God is. They cried unto Him. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they said, we beseech Thee, O Lord. They're not demanding, not insisting. He's not outside asking them. They're begging Him. We beseech Thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood. Brethren, do you remember when Christ was being crucified, the Jews said, let His blood be on us and our children. You remember that? That's what they said. Pilate said, I'm innocent from His blood. Don't charge me. They said, we'll take the blame. But you know how merciful God is. Those same people that said, we'll take the blame, doesn't bother us. Christ was hanging on that cross and said, Father, forgive them. And then He sent His disciples after that, like this. He went right back to Nineveh. Jonah did. Christ sent His disciples and said, you start at Jerusalem. You go to Jerusalem first and you preach to the very people that killed me. And you know what the Scripture says? So they took him up. They took up Jonah. Verse 15, and they cast him forth into the sea. Peter at Pentecost stood up and preached Christ crucified, risen, buried, risen, and seated at the right hand of God as the Lord over all. Not a frustrated Jesus standing outside your heart's door, but the Lord seated on the throne, sent by God to do a work that He performed, He finished. And after He had by Himself purged the sins of His people, went back to the majesty on high and sat down until this whole thing is under His feet. That's Jesus Christ. That's who Peter preached. They said, now save yourselves from this untoward generation. What shall we do, they said? We've crucified the Lord of glory. We with wicked hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory. But Peter said, you did what God determined before to be done. God did this. The Lord had prepared. Look at verse 17. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Oh, brethren, I'm not sufficient for this. I can't do it. When they cast Jonah into that water, it says the water laid down, ceased a raging. The sea ceased a raging. That great tempest, all that wrath, they thought they were all going to die to a man. They were scared of, feared the Lord finally. They finally feared the Lord. They knew that He's going to kill us all and we deserve it. And then when they took Jonah, that man of God, sent by God with the message of truth, and threw him into that depth, the depth of the sea, that sea stopped. And boy, now they know. You reckon they know who Jonah represents? Everybody does. Everybody does. And the Lord prepared a great whale. And when Christ, let me go say this before, when Christ was hanging on that cross and cried, "It is finished," a great earthquake happened. The dead in Christ arose. The veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom. The dead rose from their grave. The earth opened up. Heaven and earth erupted. And hell beneath them. My. And the wrath of God was appeased. The wrath of God stopped. There is no wrath. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, whom Christ died for. The wrath of God ceased. Now, long before Jonah was thrown into this sea, God prepared a fish, a whale. Long before, months before, maybe a year before. I just read that the whales were not too often seen in these waters. It was a rare sight to see a whale in these waters. But God had this whale, like that ram at the bottom of the mountain where Isaac was to be sacrificed. Walked up that mountain waiting. God had this whale. They say when there's a great storm, that the dolphins and the sharks and the whales all go to calm water. Not this one. God told this whale, "You go. There's a man you're to swallow." Are you with me? Come on, come on. This is marvelous. But it's deep. That whale represents this world. The depth, the darkness, the filth. Jonah in Jonah chapter 2 started describing down there, this whale represents this world. It is filled with hell. There is hell on earth. It's called sin, wickedness, filth, darkness, rottenness prevails here. It's a vast gulf that is swallowing up this world and everything in it. Okay? It's a vile place. It's not a beautiful place. Our Lord called it this present evil world. And it's just swallowing people. It's opening up and swallowing people day in and day out. And our Lord was put in that. He was made sin. He endured hell. He went through hell. God put him. And in Psalm 69, that's the Psalm of the Cross. Read it. He said, "I'm come into deep waters." He said, "All thy waves and billows have passed over my head." Jonah 2 cried unto the Lord out of the belly of the whale. He said, the bars. He was, as it were, in prison. Now, Psalm 16, of which Peter preached, he says, "But thou wilt not leave thy Holy One in hell or suffer him to suffer corruption." Won't do it. But Christ, know this, that this world is not a peaceful, sweet place that God loves. It's like this whale that's just swallowing people up. And Christ came into this place, was made sin for his people who knew no sin. See, the mariners were up there, peace. Calm, safety. While Jonah is in the depth of the filth. And Jonah cried, look at it, in Jonah chapter 2. He went down, verse 6, into the bottoms of the mountains. "Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." This is after the fact. He wrote this before it happened and after it. And it says in verse 8, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Brother Mike, that means anything other than Christ crucified is a lie and a vanity. And it won't save you. Anything I don't care what it looks like, how it sounds. There's one way these mariners were saved, is by Jonah being cast into the depth of the sea and swallowed by that whale. And there's only one way we're going to get to God, is by Christ crucified. Old-fashioned, bloody religion, an angry God, that's right. Sin, that's right. Wrath of peace, that's right. Bloodshed, that's right. That's the truth. Christ preached it. But Jonah said, verse 9, I will sacrifice unto thee. Christ made that sacrifice for us, didn't he? With thanksgiving, with a joy that was set before him. I'll pay that I vowed. He paid the vows, didn't he? Of faithfulness, of righteousness. You see, salvation is of the Lord. And you know what happened? The Lord spake, and that fish spewed out Jonah on dry land. And Christ was in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. He was in this earth 33 years. Significant? Coincidental? 33 years. 3 days, three nights. He died. He's put in the grave. Where is he? John, he's the scapegoat. He's the fit man. He was taking our sin and separating them from us, but they never be found again. Isn't that wonderful? And then God said, satisfied. Open up. And the earth opened up. And Christ came out. And then chapter 3 says the word came to Jonah again. Now go preach. And oh, the Lord saves a whole city. You see how the type itself is amazing, isn't it? But what I hope we'd be amazed at and marvel at is that Christ would come down here and do this for us. Like those mariners. Do you think they were grateful for Jonah? Do you think they were grateful? When they heard that Jonah lived, don't you think, Helen, don't you think somebody said, Jonah's alive, we saw him. No! Really? We killed him. Really? Let's go see him. Don't you? I know to a man, Robin, that said, let's get in the ship and go find him. There he is on the shore cooking fish. Jonah! Thank you! Remember, thank the Lord for sending you. Christ crucified. It doesn't get any better than that. Salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Let's sing in closing number 42. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Number 42.
Prostrate fall, pray for the royal diadem.